When you were growing up, did you ever think that perhaps mother and dad loved your brother or your sister more than they did you? The brothers of Joseph felt that way. But in their case, it was true. Joseph was his father's favorite. He got special treatment. He didn't even have to work out with the flocks as the other boys did. He was always dreaming of how great he was and how his brothers would one day bow down before him. But worse than that, he told them about that dream. That is guaranteed to make you unpopular, especially when you wear your new coat at the same time. Unfortunately for Joseph, when he got away from his father's tent, the world didn't think Joseph was all that hot. As a matter of fact, Joseph found the real world to be very tough, hard, and even cruel. Before Joseph knew what was happening to himself, he found himself in the hands of slave traders on his way to Egypt. And life turned out to have far more trouble in it than Joseph had ever dreamed. Now, most of us have found this to be true in our lives. Growing up in the sheltered environment of our parents' homes, we were protected from much of life, and we thought we could just go out and conquer the world. There was nothing out there to bother us. But life had some surprises for us. We have discovered more trouble out there in the world than we ever suspected. Do you remember how the poet Longfellow put it? He wrote, "Thy fate is the common fate of all. Into each life some rain must fall." When I was a teenager, I think it was the Ink Spots, had a very popular record entitled, "Into Each Life Some Rain Must Fall." And if it has not rained on your parade yet, let me guarantee you, the storm clouds are gathering. Into the life of each of us, some rain is going to fall. That's the nature of life. So the question is not, will there be some rain on our parade? That is guaranteed. The real question is this: what will we do when the rains come? What will we do when we trip over trouble? This morning I would like to suggest some tips for the times when we trip over trouble. The first tip is this. I don't get my Gideon Bible. The first tip is this. Try to see life as it really is. A lot of our troubles in life come when we try to deny reality. I have a friend who has a little child who is mentally retarded. That family simply could not accept the fact that their child had brain damage. They went from child doctor to child psychiatrist to hospital to medical center, trying to get somebody to say to them that it was not so. Their refusal to see life as it really was almost destroyed them, both financially and emotionally. As a matter of fact, the whole field of psychiatry and counseling has developed because you and I don't want to face up to life as it really is. And we have repressed and buried things we don't want to admit to our conscious mind. We want to deny the harsh realities of life and pretend they are not so. Some years ago, when I was a pastor in Dallas, Texas, a young man in my congregation became an alcoholic. And as you know, excessive drinking is a form of escape from life's realities. He once told me, "I drink until a little switch in my mind clicks. And then life changes, and suddenly I'm not afraid anymore." A lot of years have gone by since then, but one Christmas I got a note from his father. "I'm sorry to tell you," he wrote, "but last month George took his own life." What destroyed a young man with great potential? Well, it was really his inability to face life as it really was. You see, as it turns out, there are no escape routes from life. I once knew a couple who lost their little son through an accident. For many months, they refused to accept the reality of his death. The toys of the little boy were left where he dropped them last. His room was left just as it was when last he slept there. Any little handprint, any little evidence of his presence was left. And they were trying so hard to pretend that it really wasn't so. In any moment he would appear again. And their refusal to face up to reality almost destroyed them. So the first tip for when you trip over trouble is to see reality as it is. Here's the second tip. Try to see yourself as you really are. You know, a lot of our problem comes in refusing to see ourselves as we are. Now look at Joseph showing off his coat to his brothers. Actually, Joseph was an obnoxious smart aleck. Joseph was a jerk. No wonder his brothers did him in, telling them, "You're going to bow down to me someday. Look at the coat Dad gave me." Now, in years to come, Joseph realized that. So he never hated his brothers. He never dwelt on getting revenge. Why? Because he was able to see himself as he was, and he realized he got a lot of what he deserved. There's a joke about a Mexican down in South Texas back in the old days who decided to rob a bank. After the robbery, the posse took off after him and tracked him to his remote cabin. The sheriff, who didn't speak any Spanish, had an interpreter with him, and he said, "Tell him if he doesn't tell me where the money is, I'm going to kill him." So the interpreter told the man in Spanish, "Listen," he said, "this sheriff is one mean man. If you don't tell him where you hid the money, he's going to shoot you." "Well," said the robber in Spanish, "I don't want to get killed. Tell him I hid the money in the well behind the house." "What did he say?" demanded the sheriff. The interpreter thought for a moment, and then he replied, "He said to tell you he's one brave Mexican. He's not afraid to die." Well, a lot of us are like that. The reason we're in trouble in the first place is because we created the problem. We deserve a lot of what happens to us, and it's hard to see ourselves as we really are. As a pastor, I'm subject to a lot of criticism. I have a high visibility, and people have certain expectations of me. And I don't measure up to those expectations always. So people are disappointed in me. Now, it would be easy to say that their expectations were unrealistic or unfair. But the fact is, I am an imperfect human being. To deny the possibility of being wrong is to deny the possibility of improving. You know, you can go through life blaming something or someone else for all that happens to you. For example, a lot of people who get in trouble or who go to prison want to blame society or blame the economic situation or blame somebody else. But the fact is, we will always be tripping over trouble until we see ourselves for who and what we really are and take responsibility for ourselves. At some point, we must accept whatever blame rightly belongs to us. We must assume responsibility for what we do. There's a commercial on TV advertising a local alcohol rehabilitation center. And it makes this point very well. It shows a man who's talking to someone, and he's complaining that he had given his wife everything, and yet she had left him. And it cuts to his wife, and she says, "I had nothing." He says, "I gave my boss everything. I worked so hard." And it cuts to his boss, and it says, "When he left for lunch, I never knew when he'd be back." And then it says, the man says, "Why me?" And then it shows who he's talking to. It's the bartender pouring him a drink. And he says, "Beats me, buddy." There's no healing for that person until he sees himself as he really is. Here's the third tip for when you trip over trouble. Look for the good in your trouble. That's hard for most of us to do. We always emphasize the bad part. Yet most of our troubles have some good in them, if we're willing to see it. See how it works. Some years ago, Reader's Digest had a story about a movie and television stunt woman. It's an incredible story. Not only because she performs fantastic feats of daring, but because she is also deaf. Scott Jackson, who was the liturgist at the early service, has a brother who is deaf. And at the deaf school where he's been taught to read lips, he doesn't know sign language at all. He's a senior in high school now and was all-state in football. Anyway, this young man was tremendously motivated when the lady I'm talking about, I think her name is Kitty O'Neill, came to the deaf school here in St. Louis and visited with him. But the really incredible story is about her mother. She set out to teach her little deaf girl to talk normally and to live a normal life. Eventually, she established a school down in Texas to help other deaf children. You see, a little deaf child can be a terrible trouble. But the mother found good in it, and she used that good to touch many lives with help and love. That's exactly what Joseph did. After his father died, as his brothers gathered around him, he reminded them of what had happened many years ago. And then he said this, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." You see, as long as we believe that life has meaning and purpose, we will always see how God is bringing good out of the worst. Joseph's brothers sold him into dreadful slavery. But in years to come, when the entire family came to Egypt to avoid starvation, Joseph could look back and see how God had brought good out of evil. Thus he said to his brothers, "So it was not you who sent me here, but God." There's a funny story about a young man who arrived at the home of his date 30 minutes too early. And that really is a no-no. When she came to answer the doorbell, her hair was teased in a million directions. Now, I know just how she looked. My wife first rolls up her hair, and then when she unrolls it, she takes each strand and a brush and back brushes it. That's called teasing it. Anyway, at that point, she looks as though she has just stuck her finger in a light socket. So here stood the young lady, and there was nothing she could do but try to make light of the situation. She asked, "Well, how do you like my hair?" And the young man stood there for a moment and then answered very diplomatically, "It looks as if it's about to become something wonderful." Well, that's how we need to see our troubles. They are something that is about to become wonderful. Over in the New Testament, there's a story about St. Paul. He was unjustly arrested and put in prison in Rome. Eventually, he was to die there. And yet this man could write, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors." You see, when you trip over trouble, you can be a conqueror too if you look for the best, trusting that God brings good out of the worst that can happen. Trouble is only the prelude of something that is about to become wonderful. Now, this brings me to the fourth tip for times when you trip over trouble. You see, if you see life as it really is, if you see yourself as you really are, if you look for the good in spite of the bad, then you can take the fourth step, which is this, to use trouble as a stepping stone to greater things. See how it works. What happened to Joseph when he became a slave in Potiphar's home? Why, he became the overseer of his master's household. What happened to Joseph when he was unjustly thrown in prison? Why, he became the trustee to the prison keeper. What happened when Joseph became a slave to the Pharaoh? Why, he became the greatest man in Egypt next to the Pharaoh himself. Do you see, Joseph used trouble as a stepping stone to something better, something greater. Probably many of you have read about Admiral Richard E. Byrd. Just before graduation from Annapolis, he broke his foot. Unfortunately, it never healed properly, and they discharged him from the Navy as a cripple. His hopes of being a naval officer were smashed, and he said, "I thought for a long time it was the end of everything." Yet in spite of his trouble, he applied to Washington for duty as an aviator, on the grounds that a pilot sits down most of the time. He fought in the First World War as a pilot. He flew to the North Pole. He hopped the Atlantic Ocean and twice flew over the South Pole. In the process, he became one of America's greatest explorers. You see, he used trouble as a stepping stone to something greater. Or look at Whistler, the great artist. He wanted to be a soldier, but he flunked out of West Point because he couldn't pass chemistry. He once said, "If silicon had been a gas, I would have been a major general." But with that failure, he took what talent he did have and became one of America's greatest painters. Yes, each of us decides how trouble will look. We decide what sort of frame the picture of life will have to set it off. The artist Robert Henri was attending an exhibition in New York City of the great painter Sargent. He noticed a man standing in front of the most prominent picture who kept saying to himself, "I've been given a place at last. I have a place at last." Henri was mystified at what the man was saying and asked him, Are you in this kind of work?" "Oh, yes," replied the man, "but this is the first time I've ever been displayed like this." Now Henri was really disturbed. "But I thought this work was by the great painter Sargent," he said. "That's right," replied the man, "but it was me that made the frame." Well, so it is with us. God is the great artist. He draws the picture of life. But you and I decide how it will look, for we make the frame. Yes, God draws the picture. We make the frame. God grant that when you and I come to put a title under the picture of our lives, that we may entitle it, "But God meant it for good." Meant it for good.